This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we will be featuring an important talk on parenting. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought.
And we will have a blessing and song from Kim Collingsworth and her family, as well as an impactful look at manta rays.
Don't miss it. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. Thank you for waking up with us here today. We're so glad you have chosen to join us.
Yes, we are. Good morning, friends. It's a lovely June summer morning here. What have you done so far this summer? Do you have any upcoming plans or summer family traditions? Share them with us on our official Hope Channel Facebook page. We would love to hear from you.
Yes, we would. You know, on today's program, we're going to have so many blessings in store for you. Aside from our devotional thought, we're going to have some music, parenting tips, and a deeper look at manta rays. But first, let's take a look back and find out what took place on this day in history.
On June 29, 1958, Brazil defeated host nation Sweden 5-2 to win its first World Cup. Brazil came into the tournament as a favorite and did not disappoint, thrilling the world with their spectacular play, which was often referred to as the beautiful game. The star of the tournament was an undersized midfielder named Edson Arantes do Nascimento, known the world over as Pelé. Edson, the son of a professional footballer called Dorginho, was named for the American inventor Thomas Edison. His mother, having watched her husband struggle to earn money in the game, discouraged Pelé from playing football. But Pelé's will won out, and at 14, he was discovered by De Brito, a former Brazilian team member who took the young scorer under his wing. Pelé earned his first cap with the national team at 16 and made his debut on the international stage at the 1958 World Cup in Sweden at 17 years old.
You know, have you ever been the star or the hero of any situation? If so, you know the feeling. It's one of thrill and excitement and an overall feeling good. Most of us have never really been considered heroes. But did you know that we have an equal opportunity to be one? Just as Jesus used average, broken people in the Bible to accomplish incredible things on His behalf, when we surrender to Him, we too can be used in a mighty way for Him and be a hero for Christ.
Amen.
Put yourself in His arms today and watch how He will use you in wonderful ways.
Awesome. You know the scene, that vision we have of all those other families out there who just always seem cool, calm, and collected. How come their kids always seem like little angels and ours look like a pack of zoo animals? Well, in reality, it's not just our family that is sometimes a bit chaotic. All families are like this at one point or another. Isn't that true?
Oh, very true.
The key is remembering that sometimes good enough is good enough. Other times we might want to step back and look at how we can instigate a little bit of change. How can we know the difference? The parenting place is here to guide us this morning. Hello and welcome to...
Okay, we'll have to cut that out.
Hello and welcome to with Hudson.
Hudson, don't touch that.
Does all this madness look familiar?
Well, a way to avoid this kind of unpredictability and chaos is actually pretty easy. Just don't have kids. You've already got them, don't you? Well, that's even better because kids, as you know, really enrich our lives and bring us joy on a daily basis. But as you also know, they provide us with one of our biggest challenges and even sometimes lead to desperation and heartache. One description of parenting I quite like is that it's like walking around with our hearts outside our body. Anō neke waho tō ngako I tō tinana. When it comes to families, the bad news is actually also the good news, and that is that there's no such thing as a perfect family. Sometimes parenting is about sitting back and just saying, you know what, today, good enough was good enough. But other times we need to step outside of our comfort zone and be willing to actually step back and go, maybe there's something I need to do differently. Maybe there's another way to approach this.
Friends, we are delighted to spend time with you this morning. Coming up, we have music by Kim Collingsworth and her family and a look at manta rays.
And if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content.
Also, check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll be right back.
In the ocean below the surface of the Black Night are giant manta rays dancing in the light. Considered by many as the best night dive in the world, the Blackwater Manta Dive is an experience that human language cannot adequately describe. What can they teach us about our own walk with Jesus? Follow along as Taj Pagleb takes us on an impactful dive.
On the west side of the Big Island of Hawaii is a small town that's known for a lot of amazing things. Kailua Kona is a land of black lava fields, rugged rocky coastlines, crystal clear waters, historical Hawaiian heiaus, fruitful fish ponds, and ancient petroglyphs. It is the home of the iconic Kona coffee bean, the annual Ironman triathlon, the international billfish deepwater fishing tournament, and so much more. But of all the things that Kona is famous for, none is more awe-inspiring than what you're able to see just after sunset, just below the surface of the ocean. As the sun slips below the western horizon, it's time for us to slip beneath the surface of the water. Now, as you sink into the black water below, it's like being transported into another planet. It is like descending into the dark abyss of a whole new world. It is dark, but it's anything but dreary or dull. For below the surface of the Black Night is what I consider one of the top five things to see before you die. Giant manta rays dancing in the night light. Considered by many as one of the best night dives in the world, the Blackwater Manta Dive is an experience that no human language can adequately describe. You got to see it to believe it. These massive manta rays, with wingspans of up to 15 feet long, glide through the coastal waters with mouths wide open. They are filter feeders, feasted upon large quantities of zooplankton in the form of shrimp, krill, and tiny crabs. With their broad heads, triangular wing-like pectoral fins, horn-like cephalic fins, flat disc-like bodies, and wide mouths, they are an incredible sight to behold. As the manta approaches the cloud of plankton, it unrolls its cephalic fins in order to channel the food into their mouths. If the cloud of plankton is particularly thick, the manta will do somersaults or barrel rolls to catch all the tiny critters. And even though the opening of their mouths can fit your head, these magnificent creatures are perfectly harmless. They don't have any teeth, their esophagus is about the size of a small coin, and unlike their stingray cousins, manta rays do not have the barbed tail stinger. They're non-aggressive and perfectly harmless to humans. It was an awesome privilege to be in the presence of these gentle giants of the sea as they did their manta dance in the bright night light. The reason why the Blackwater Manta Dive is one of the best night dives in the world is because the mantas are drawn to the light. The light attracts the plankton attracts the mantas, and the mantas attract happy divers like me. It's a win-win situation for the mantas and the divers. The mantas get a good meal, and the divers get an unforgettable show. Flashlights are provided by the dive company, but tonight I brought my own dive light, which happens to be 10 times brighter than all the rest. And since the mantas are attracted to the light, whoever has the brightest light becomes the most attractive. Words cannot describe the feeling I had, seeing manta after manta come to me with wingspans up to 15 feet long and mouths wide open, doing barrel rolls over my head all dive long. Some got so close that their tummies were rubbing on the top of my head. There was nothing short of spectacular. Besides the experience itself, the spiritual lesson the mantas taught was just as incredible. You see, as the manta's hunger is fulfilled by coming close to the light, so too the longing heart of humanity can only be satisfied in the light of God's love. It is in the illuminating light of God's love that we experience the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. The love of God is the brightest light in the universe that attracts hungry humanity from the darkness of death and into the light of life. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And it was said of him that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You see, in a world full of dense spiritual darkness, deception, distraction, delusion, and destruction, we must come close to the light. We must look upon and listen to the light of God's word. "For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." And as we come to dwell in the light of truth and love, we then become lamps to shine that same light to those around us. And he who has the brightest light becomes the most attractive. For the Bible says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Jesus is the light, and he makes us his lamp to shine his light of love in a world of spiritual darkness. So in these last days, as the Son of Hope gives way to the night of woe, I invite you to come to the night light. When the darkness of the evil one settles all around you, and you feel all alone, come to the night light. When the night of sorrow is long, and the day of joy is short, come to the bright night light. Learn the lessons from the manta dance. Open your mouth wide so that God can fill it. And when you do, just like the mantas of the Kona Coast, people will flock to see the one that is shining in and through your life, the wonderful God of grace, who teaches us to dance like the mantas in the glorious gleaming of the bright night light.
We now have music from Kim Collingsworth and her family. She will be singing "As For Me and My House."
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Faith for Today is bringing us a powerful devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for being with us this morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
A young soldier and his commanding officer got onto a train together. The only available seats were across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her grandmother. As they engaged in pleasant conversation, the soldier and the young woman kept eyeing one another. The attraction was obviously mutual. Suddenly, the train went into a tunnel and the car became pitch black. Immediately, two sounds were heard: the smack of a kiss and the whack of a slap across the face. The grandmother thought, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him a slap that he deserved." The commanding officer thought, "I don't blame the boy for kissing that girl, but it's a shame that she missed his face and hit me instead." The young girl thought, "I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it." And as the train broke into the sunlight, the soldier could not wipe the smile off his face. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer, and had gotten away with both. Now, some of the goals we all have are to seize the day, to live in the moment, and to not let worries keep us from living joy-filled lives. But worries seem to plague most of our waking moments. Jesus understood that worry about the things of life could undo a disciple's career. So Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Those who chose to be on the road with Jesus necessarily lived on the edge in respect to their food and clothing. If a disciple worried about breakfast, and then when breakfast was provided, thought, "Phew, that's over. Now, where will my lunch come from?" That disciple would soon become neutralized and spiritually ineffective. There's a broad application of this truth to today's culture, because modern culture is neurotic about food and drink and clothing. TV ads feed our neuroses with alluring images of skinny people downing chips and burgers and sodas. Every product imaginable for the body is promoted. How to tan it, slim it, pamper it, clothe it, drug it, and stimulate it. Today's marketing seems to be addressing worries that we didn't even know we had. But Jesus commands us not to worry about life. Life is more than a good meal and a new outfit, and it's certainly more than worrying about these things. But it feels almost impossible to not worry, doesn't it? Perhaps that's why Jesus didn't stop with these two illustrations. He continues by saying, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? The ravens and their little brothers, the crows, were and are everywhere in every nation of the world. They are, in fact, scavengers, and in biblical times, they were considered unclean. These insolent, squawking birds know nothing of the prudent habits of a farmer, and yet God feeds them." This doesn't mean that Jesus' followers are not to work, for in other places in Scripture, it speaks about animals as an example of hard workers. Jesus was merely holding up a common bird that lives according to its God-given capabilities and function, and showing that God provides for it. We don't have to worry about the basic things, as long as we remember God and where we are going along with Him. Albert Einstein was traveling from Princeton on a train. When the conductor came down the aisle punching tickets, Einstein reached in his vest pocket. He couldn't find his ticket, so he reached in his trouser pockets. It wasn't there. So he looked in his briefcase, but still he couldn't find it. He looked in the seat next to him, but It wasn't there either. The conductor kindly said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." The conductor then continued on his way, punching tickets. Just before he went to the next car, he turned around and saw the great scientist on his hands and knees looking under his seat for the ticket. The conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket." Einstein said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I am going." Now, this is a funny story, but the truth is, all of our worries can vanish if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's when the glory of God's destination will outshine all of our worries. Freed from our worry and fretting over material things, what are you going to do? Set up one goal and accomplish it? Be part of God's kingdom? Do the work he gives you to do? Concentrate on being God's instruments to establish his kingdom here on earth? As he provided for the mission of the 12, so he will provide for you. Surrender your fear. Don't let anxiety rule your life. Trust the Father. The delight of his life is to find ways to give not only just daily needs, but his whole kingdom to you. Us kingdom heirs don't have to worry about the small stuff. Worry projects the worst. The worrier is perpetually going unfed and unclothed. Worry loads the present with the weight of the future. And when you load the troubles that you are anticipating upon the troubles you are presently experiencing, you give yourself an impossible burden. As George MacDonald wisely put it, "No man ever sank under the burdens of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear." Jesus said just that in his summary statement of the parallel passage in Matthew. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." A woman who had lived long enough to have learned some important truths about life remarked, "I've had a lot of trouble, most of which never happened." She had worried about many things that had never occurred and had come to see the total futility of her anxieties. A submarine was being tested and had to remain submerged for many hours. When it returned to the harbor, the captain was asked, "How did the terrible storm last night affect you?" The officer looked at him in surprise and exclaimed, "Storm? We didn't even know that there was one." The sub had been so far beneath the surface that it had reached the area known to sailors as the cushion of the sea. Although the ocean may be whipped into huge waves by huge and high winds, the waters below are never stirred. The Christian's mind can be protected against the distracting waves of worry if it is resting completely in the good providence of God. There, sheltered by his grace and encouraged by his Holy Spirit, the believer can find the perfect tranquility that only Christ can provide. Let us all stop worrying today and place ourselves in the cushion of the world's stormy seas.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy.
Amen. And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We will have devotional thought, special features, and so much more.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study.
That's right. And of course, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise is found in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3.
It says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know."
Are you unsure of what steps to take in life, friend? Well, God has a plan for you. He has promised that in every time of need, no matter how big or small, you can call out to him, and he will answer you.
Amen. I want to do that today, friends, and I encourage you to do the same.
Amen.
Well, we sure have enjoyed spending time with you this morning, haven't we?
Yes, it's been wonderful. Let's pray together, friends. Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful to begin this day together, together with you. You're the God who already has a master plan for our life today. You have precious thoughts towards us. And that's why, Lord, we choose to put our faith in you and you alone. Because by doing so, all your precious thoughts towards us will be fulfilled. And that gives us hope, hope to face today with courage and strength. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.